We got a guest. We got a guest. Episode 78.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, this is Ego and Vice. This is episode 78. Yes, as I said at the beginning, we have a guest. It's been a long time. Ego and Vice was started in 2017, I think, and my main goal, as I've said many times on the podcast, was to always represent everything Ottawa, where it came to music, came to art, came to business, anything local. And for the first, 60 episodes, I always had local talent on. Local musicians, theater people, business owners, and I would try and showcase them because that is always what I wanted to do with this podcast. And because the pandemic kind of wiped us out there for a bit, me and Steph took the reins of the podcast and just kind of kept it going, kept it alive, but it was hard to have, obviously hard to have people in the studio for like a live conversation or a live interview, if you will, like I used to. And I also, it was kind of hard to have people on the line because everyone was very concerned about what they were doing with their own lives and, trying to get used to, the new way of how the world was working. And also, I didn't want the podcast to turn into the COVID hour or accidentally start sliding into politics. That was never my intention for this, and I never wanted to do that. If you want to debate, go somewhere else. If you just want to hear about your favorite Ottawa anything, come to Ego and Vice. So that's what I did. So that's what me and Steph did. Steph is not here tonight. Just scheduling things. Steph is going to be back next week. But the guest I have on is a friend of mine, and funny story is that he was actually the guest I was supposed to have on right before the pandemic hit. He was next in line to be on Ego and Vice. His name is Steve Sommer. He's in a band called Holy Hi-Fi, and he has been waiting patiently for about, 20 months or so to be on Ego and Vice, but we got him. It is a remote interview. He's not technically in Southwood Studio. But, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the most patient man in rock and roll, Mr. Steve Sommer.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Steve, I'm super happy you're on, because me and Steph are completely running out of things to talk about. And since it's remote, you can't see that I'm sitting here with no pants on.
Well, no, that's pretty coincidental, because I also am sitting with no pants on, so great minds, right?
Oh, so we're both pantless.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, cool. Do you remember when you played at Jesse Brewer's like house party?
Yeah, man, that was pretty much our first show after playing for a few years. A bunch of us got together and we'd been trying some other stuff, and then we wrote the banger and it just sort of took off from there, and we sort of had a direction we were going. So we'd finally gotten out and done that, and I mean, that was what, like the summer before the pandemic started, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, definitely the summer of, because that was, when did everything go to shit, like in the, after Christmas?
Like February 2020, everyone was sort of like, hey, is this going to hit us? Like,
yeah.
Something like that.
So we're talking about maybe July, August 2019,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it was July. And then we managed to do good handful more shows, a lot of fun. We did then we the last show we did was, I believe it was just the beginning of January. It was this Rebel 101 thing, and it was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea what was coming down the road for us. We got a song on the radio, and then all of a sudden it was like the pandemic hit. We had a show booked in Montreal next, and the closer we got to that date, the closer it seemed like it was going to get canceled, and that was the end.
Right, and then everything after that, everybody had like plans and everybody had goals and stuff like that, like literal mm-hmm. shit on paper. Like the ink wasn't even like the ink was dry. Like I'm in a band called the Riptides, and that spring, 2020, we had an East Coast, I guess, American tour with the Queers coming up.
Oh man, that
and
was
we were
fun.
Supposed to do all the major cities like New York City, Philadelphia, Boston. Mm-hmm. We had like a nine day tour. Pooza Fest canceled. Hope Volleyball canceled. So it's just like it's amazing how fast everything just came to a screeching halt. And thing is with me, it's just like I'm an old, dirty old fat guy, right? And I've just been doing this for so long, and this is the first time everything's kind of come to a halt. Yes. But for, like you said, you weren't a band for a ton of time. You were just getting going. You had some buzz, some hype. You had some people that noticed you, and then all of a sudden, boom. I know how old bands stay together. It's because that's all we do. How do new bands stay together, like after someone puts their hand in your face and says, nope, not today. Nope, that's not happening.
Yeah, it was weird because we... Obviously, the restrictions weren't quite in place. We were still doing a bit of, you know, getting together and jamming. But then once it got to the case of like, oh, so many people in a house and Bylon might knock on your door and give everybody tickets, it was like, ah, shit. Like, you know, like it was just getting tougher. And I can't remember when the first restrictions came down, but literally like the last time, so we jammed for the first time a couple weeks ago. But the time before that, restrictions had just eased off. We got together again last December, and then like literally 2 weeks later, we were back into restrictions. And I mean, with us too, like obviously, all having different jobs, and a couple, like three of us have kids, and like, you have a schedule in place. And then when this all happens, it also railroads that schedule, because you get into, well, we didn't anticipate, what is it, a year and a half now or so.
Yeah.
We sort of settled into this different scheduling now with all of our lives.
Hmm.
But yeah, so the studio stuff, we had the studio coming up, that got shut down. Then we started talking about it again in December. So now we're really just getting started again. All of us, you know, still working on music, but getting together has been a real challenge.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. And it's like, regardless of how long you're a band or how long you've been together, it really is like starting over. It's like trying to find that new kind of, like everyone has a new schedule, right?
Some people have different jobs and they can't even have the same schedule.
Right. Exactly. Different life almost, you know,
mm-hmm.
where before it was just like every Sunday we're going to jam, right? And everyone's just like, okay, yeah, that's what you have decided. A year and a half later, it's like every Sunday we're going to jam. And it's just like, oh no, Sundays I do this now.
Yeah,
and someone else does this, that, and so it's been hard. And as you know, I'm in a band called Goat, and I'm in a band called The Riptides. But
last local show I was at, actually, other than the one we played, was the Christmas Riptides one. Actually,
yeah, that was the last thing I played too. Yeah, so hey, man, you know, there we go. We'll bond there. But I know that. After everything, at first it was taken away, and now it's kind of like trying to find the right time to kind of do it again, right? So I know that both of my bands are, there's nothing going to happen until 2022.
Yeah.
And then that's okay. That's okay, you know?
Like, are you talking about shows-wise?
Shows, like... anything, just jamming, anything. Yeah. I'm not going to rush back into it because there's, you know, what's the point really? Because yeah, you can get back in just to do it and say like, yeah, we did it and stuff like that. But I've kept the relationships with the boys, like with the guys, and that's amazing too. I think what would be more important to me at this point, and even like standing in a room playing music, was to stand in the room with all the guys and just like give them a hug and be like, fuck, it's been a long time since we've all been together, you know?
Yeah, seriously. And so, like, I totally respect, like, there's tons of bands where it's like, this is, you know, this is what they got to do to make a living. And like, I, you know, there's tons of bands doing the, you know, shows with restrictions and shows, but it's just, the shows are harder to come by. The reality is like, it's not, I could be wrong, but I imagine it's just, it's going to be still a different vibe. And like, I'd like to take the time to, you know, get back into the studio if we're not like, sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. If like, you know, if Lagwagon came through and was like, hey, we want you to play our show, I'd be like, all right, guys, we got to get this shit together and do this. You know, it's
well,
like,
there's exceptions, right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, I don't think you should get down on yourselves for like, oh, we haven't played a show in fucking 2 years.
No, and we're not.
Get in your jam spot and do your thing. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, like, fuck it, man. Wait a bit. It's going to happen. It's all going to happen. Right?
Yeah, when we got together the couple of weeks ago there for the first jam a long time, a lot of it was just like, yeah, let's just, man, it's just good to see you, you know? Like,
yeah.
Get to all be together at once. Because, you know, various of us would see each other, you know, a couple of us would get together, like, play some stuff, and nothing stopped, per se, but
yeah,
it was just not, you know, it wasn't getting together. And, like, some of our music, when we're writing it, a lot of, like, little melodies and pieces come together from doing it as a whole piece, and then someone hits something and you're just like, oh my God, okay, well, let's build off that. And, you know, I have a lot of bases ready to go.
Right.
And I just want to get together and start rebuilding.
Yeah.
That. Like, well, we still have the songs we were getting ready to go into the studio for.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not like we don't have stuff to record, but it's like, oh, it's been so long. Like, I want to record some more when we go in, you know?
Yeah. Well, I look at it this way. It's like getting back together with everybody at this point is like either a bachelor party or like golf, like a golf Saturday, where it's like, this is going to be a disaster, but we're going to have a lot of fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were calling it rust on the floor.
Yeah. So anyway, but you know what? Enough about what we want to do and, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, what's going on. Steve, dude, you're on Ego and Vice. Let's talk about you. Like, who are you? Like, when did you start in music? What's going on?
I guess I was probably like 12 when I got my first guitar. And I had a buddy who was a few years older than me, and he was already playing guitar. So he taught me some notes, and it sort of went from there. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I'd, you know, be in my room learning songs and whatever. But eventually I just sort of, I was more into just writing my own stuff. And that's when I was in a band with this other guy, James Boone, that I grew up with. Everything Less.
When you were like 12, you were in a band?
No, we did a couple other things, but I'd say like maybe 16, we started that band. And then, mm-hmm, yeah, one of the guitarists, a guy that became our guitarist there, he's a guitarist in Holy Hi-Fi as well. Mm-hmm. And our drummer, Brian. So yeah, Brad's our guitarist, and Brian, he also, near the end or midpoint of Everything Less, came in and was drumming for us. So he's working with us now. And then a good buddy of ours, Julian, I'd known him all through high school. And when Everything Less had disbanded and I was sort of starting to write some songs again, I just reached out. I was like, hey, man, like, you want to play some bass? And he was down. And then he introduced us to Randy from Salem's Trial. They're sweet. If you're in a heavy metal, man, you should check them out.
Okay.
They shred really hard, but yeah, that's how I got into music. And then
a lot of music in your house when you were a kid, or was it something you just kind of developed as you, or just kind of picked up on as you went like through school? Do you have some like weird like fucking headbanging friends or like?
No, it was really that one guy, James, that really got me into music, and just, you know, like I always like. You know,
how so though? Like what did James listen to? What was influential
so,
from James?
Music wise, I'd say like I grew up on like No Use for a Name, NoFX, Lagwagon was a big one for me.
Okay.
Blink was definitely one of the big inspirations. Like I loved like their live energy. I just, even today, like looking back, it's like, oh man, those guys are so much fun to watch.
So you were a West Coast skate punk kind of.
Yeah.
You like gravitated toward that sound?
Very much. So, well, with, yeah, that melodic punk rock, like, mm-hmm, like, and even like, I mean, Good Riddance wouldn't be really pop punk, but like, you know, Good Riddance strung out, like all these bands, the one thing in common I find they have is like melodies that you can really hear coming out of the music, you know.
Right, right.
It was but then like, man, I basically grew up on the Fat Record music compilations and that type
yeah
of thing,
I was
know?
Gonna say it's just like there was like from the West Coast America, there was like Fat Records and there was Epitaph Records, and
yeah,
a lot of bands came out of there, and they were very influential bands. And if you say you were fans of that band or of those bands, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody was fans of that.
Oh yeah, no,
and if people say they weren't, and they're trying to find some like obscure kind of like, I liked the fucking Flying Dicks from from the Undervalley fucking, you know, it's like bullshit.
Man,
bullshit.
Flying Dicks are hard.
I was a huge fan of so many of those bands and so many of those records when I was a kid, because I was a skater when I was a kid. Did you skate when you were a kid?
More snowboarding, skateboarding. I just sucked at it, man. I still skate, like, I do skateboard around, but it'd always be like, man, I just can't get better at this.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the snowboard, I was like, it's attached to my feet. Perfect. This makes more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, like, the West Coast punk rock scene definitely influenced me hard. I didn't really listen to much else than those at the time. And then I don't know, like, might not be your forte, but then I really got into hip hop when I started going to high school in Bell's Corners.
Yeah.
And like, this ties in because like, I love the melody of the punk rock, but I really love like the phonetic flows and like the different beats and stuff. And I think that influenced my writing style in a way, because I don't rap whatsoever, but like I thought of like, My rhythms were sort of blended with that idea, you know?
Sure.
So I don't know. It's definitely something that I've taken with me the whole time. Now I'm listening to a lot of, so I started listening to a lot of Thrice a little ways back, like Arsene Amos, mm-hmm. like, you know, 15 years ago. And yeah, now I've been listening to a lot of like Bayside. I'm not sure you're familiar with them, mm-hmm. but it's super melodic. Yeah.
Well, that's
those are
cool.
My influences right now.
Well, that's cool. Like you said, you're in your 30s now. Like mid-30s?
I'm 37, man.
Oh, that's okay.
It snuck up on me with this pandemic thing. I thought I was 35. So
hey,
no.
Dude. Like I've told everyone on this podcast, I got a decade on you, bud. nobody believes it, but it's true. So
age
is
like a fine line, buddy.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm super always interested on origin stories and like timelines and to see how like you get where you get. And now, like right now, you're in a band called Holy Hi-Fi, which I thought was just smashed it out of the park. So if I kind of like pick away and say, where'd you come from, where you been, that's kind of the thing with Ego and Vice podcast. You're jumping over a lot of details, bud, because you went.
Sorry, man. I don't really do a lot of podcasts, so on my.
Well, that's my job, I guess, right? You went from like the early 2000s to where you are now.
Yeah.
You talked about the first band you were in, and then you talked about today. What, like the hip hop and stuff like that? What have you done? Like, what's going on? Like, as far as that first band, what was the first band you said you were in?
So the first band that was actually had a name was Everything Less. And like, that's the thing though, is that was like,
have
man,
you always
like from 16 to like 27 or something.
Okay. Have you always been from Ottawa?
Born here. I ended up spending a bunch of time in Armprior. So that's where Everything Less started, was Armprior.
Okay.
So yeah, like it started in my buddy's basement there, and then we started doing like Legion shows and like, you know, Legion shows in like Almont and like, I don't know, just random places. It feels so long ago now, but that was really what there was to do in these towns, right? It was like, okay, do we go hang out at Tim Hortons? Do we go down to the park? Do we go to the, you know, back 40 and smoke a J or whatever? Or do we play shows, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was just super fun. And that
do you have any
what there was to do.
Did you record anything with those bands?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I still have like old like DAT tapes or whatever the fuck, you know
Digital
what I
audio
call them?
tapes? Yeah, I know them.
Yeah, of like, because there was this music teacher, Mr. Herkash, and he had a studio in a garage that was built off his house.
How did you know him? Me, what do you
He
mean, like high
was a high
school or?
school teacher. Yeah, he was a high
Okay.
school teacher, and but I remember it was all live off the floor, obviously,
Yeah.
and none of the tricks of today where it's like, oh shit, fuck that up. Okay, we can take that from the first verse, and it was just like, man, it was like start to finish, and like that was like, I remember just being so grueling, and we played like a million times faster at that point, like where it was just like,
Yeah.
looking back now, I'm like, wait, like I guess I can play that song still, but holy
What
shit, how did it seem so easy?
was that teacher a fan, or was he just like throwing you a bone, or
He
like was
just
he would
loved, I think he was just there for the kids that like anybody that wanted to make music, like you'd still pay him a little bit, but like it was dirt cheap and
like
like,
under the table, like in the garage, like in the end? Yeah.
yeah,
Mr. Herkash,
exactly.
he's gonna open the gymnasium for us.
No. So this was in a garage off the side of his actual house. So,
Oh,
and
really? Wow.
it was out like outside of town, like, but yeah, we would just you'd pay him whatever little bit of cash he asked for, and like, man, all the kids in high
And
school
this guy was like
went there
a
for
and who was he? He was a teacher at your
him. Music
school?
teacher. He was a music teacher at our
Fuck,
school.
that guy sounds awesome.
Yeah, he had this like perm hair too. Like, I don't know. He was like a he looked like a distant cousin of like Bob Ross or something like that.
Yeah. Do you know like what he's doing now? Is he still around? Is he still alive? Jesus.
He's still alive. I don't think he's teaching anymore, but I know he's still doing music and all that type of stuff. But I haven't kept up with him, though. I wouldn't be able to tell you definitively at this point.
Oh
But
man, oh
I know
man.
he's still a music name out in Armprior,
Fucking helping young punks like record fucking
so.
shitty music, and he was like, "Yeah, man, just pay me like what you can pay me and shit." That guy sounds like a fucking top-notch dude, and if you can find a way to contact that guy, I will have
Yeah.
him on Ego and Vice, and I will de dedicate a full show to that guy, because that shit is fucking dope,
That guy's
honestly.
probably got so many stories, man. And like just the
Oh.
fact like you look at this guy and it's like, man, I don't think he enjoyed listening to our music. Like
What
it
was
was just
his full name?
James Hercash.
James Herkash.
Yeah,
James
but I can't remember how
Herkash.
to spell the last name.
That's okay. James Herkash. If anybody knows James Herkash, or anybody, recorded or anything with this guy, I went to school and I had nobody that gave a shit. I've been in band since I was a kid. And everyone was just like, "Oh, like a, one day you'll be a bank." It's like, go fuck off. This guy sounds like a fucking super fucking rad dude. If anybody knows this guy, get him in contact with Ego and Vice, egoandvice@gmail.com. Have him contact me, and my name is Mike, and I'd love to talk to this dude, because what he just did would sounds amazing, amazing.
Yeah, he I think I can reach out to someone who actually is more familiar with him, so
Yeah, let's
I'll
do
see
it.
what I
Let's
can
do it.
find for
Even
you.
if he doesn't like remember like half the bands that he
Oh, I'm sure he
actually
does.
helped out, how great would it be? Like, yeah, those fucking kids, I just figured I'd keep them. I just wanted to keep them off the street. You know what I mean? But still, what a fucking awesome story that would be.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty like it was a nice thing to have the opportunity for when you're at that point and
Yeah.
in the middle of nowhere. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, then I don't know. So I don't want to talk past any points here, but yeah, everything less than we obviously that was like high school days, and then like people moved away and things changed around. But then like we ended up starting the band back up again when I was like, I don't know, 21, 22, and then we played shows with like, it'll be like the Nummies or like,
Yeah.
some of those guys. Scott Jeff would do those shows and everything. Remember, do you remember the new Bayou?
The new, but well, okay,
Where
here's the
Targ
thing.
was? Where
Here's the
Targ
thing.
is,
Here's the
sorry.
thing. I'm not originally from Ottawa, and
Oh,
I only came to Ottawa in 1998. And
okay. Well,
the
yeah, the new this I'm talking like 2005, like
Wait, it was in the place of Zaphod's, you said?
no Targ.
Oh, Targ. No,
Yeah.
I don't
Man,
remember.
like it was Man, the guys, Targ has done an amazing job of turning that place into like I don't know what you call it, a magic kingdom there. But
Targ?
yeah, Targ, House Targ there. But
We have to have a conversation off air. Anyway, go on.
Anyways, the new bayou was like a dive, like where you kept your music equipment. Like it smelled like a sewer. Like it was a fun grimy experience. But like, man, so many good shows there. Like I remember this one where there was like 11 bands or something, and
Yeah.
the Nummies were headlining. It was just so. It was like the basement show at Jesse's, and it was just like it was so sweaty. You know, I felt like maybe I was dying, but like I was having so much fun, and like wall to
You
wall,
didn't
like
care? Like, I
no,
will.
like it was like
I'll
wall to
die
wall
here.
Mohawks, dude.
I'll die here. Yeah.
Yeah, and just like everybody's just thrashing, and like we were relatively new at that point in Ottawa, and like after one chorus, like the crowd would be like chanting the second chorus back, and it was just sort of like, oh my God, like this is fucking amazing. So it was like you did plenty of shows there just because there was still so many great memories. Like,
Holy hi-fi. Like, where did that come from? Like, where did it start? Like, break it down, like, to from the beginning, like, right from the beginning.
well, if you're talking about the band name, that's just some like joke reference to like Robin from the campy Batman thing. Holy hi-fi, because it's you know how every episode he said a fucking different version of like holy something
Yeah,
Batman, like
that was Burt Ward, right? Or not Burt? Yeah, Burt Ward. Yeah, holy rusted
yeah,
metal Batman. Yeah.
exactly. So holy hi-fi was one of them, and I think it was like the 68th episode, and I was like, oh man, that's perfect, I love it. And I think my brother might have actually brought it up first. I can't recall exactly, but yeah, it's straight up from just from the show. As for the band, we started out with a couple other different people, and this was just us trying to get back into music after just the everything else had disbanded. And this was several years later, but I was like, man, like I'm so sick of not playing shows, like, and like I'd still been writing music, just not sure what I was doing with it. And we got together, and I think we called ourselves WKRP at that time. And it was a couple different people, and it just wasn't like we were having fun, but like the songs weren't in any particular direction. It just didn't feel cohesive. And then my brother was in the band at the time, and he started this riff that would later become the banger. And that sort of just he did a riff, and then it stopped. And then I was like, wait, keep doing that. And then I all of a sudden in my head I had like the first verse in like a manner of however long it takes to sing it. And I was like, no, this is a song, this is a direction, you know. And I
What's
mean that song's only like I think it's like oh, it's either a minute and a half or 2 minutes and 15 seconds. I don't know. It's a super short song,
the
but
song called?
the banger. That's the banger
Okay.
off the I don't know. It's on Spotify off Bang Bang.
And you can find that song there,
Yeah,
like Holy
on
Hi-Fi, yeah.
Spotify. Yeah, you can find our EP from I guess I don't know, I guess 3, 4 years ago now. But you can find that on Spotify and Apple Music, like all those places that you would find it.
Just can't rest. Remember you on that floor. Paint your picture. I won't do that. And you're the vocalist, right? You don't play any instruments in the band.
No, I did a bit of rhythm on like recording.
Yeah.
This is like a third guitar. But no, I don't play when we're on stage.
Okay. And who's in the band?
So Julian Martin, he's the bassist, and he does like all like the back vocals you hear and shit in the new stuff coming up and what we've been doing like live, I guess, almost 2 years ago now. And then we got Brad Rosine, who was also from Everything Less. He's our, you know, lead switch rhythm guitarist. Brian McHale, he's our drummer. And then we got Randy Massia, he's our other lead slash rhythm guitarist. And he's the one who's in Salem's Trial, that heavy metal band.
Right. I don't know, man. You guys have this energy around you, and just the way it's presented, and just the songs themselves, and the way you are the front man. I don't know, man. You just guys got something great going on, and I'm really, really happy to do what I can to try and kind of push. Push that, I guess.
Well, thanks, man. I really, really do appreciate it. It's funny because with writing, I just got to a point where I was like, I just really want to enjoy either jumping around to it or listening to it in my car, and I want it to be genuine. Like I'm not trying to like, not that I write, I guess, very specifically about things, but I don't know, just trying to do what we feel.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time with like, man, Goat, cause I think, whoa, I can't remember. You said it was Bob. So it wasn't your usual guy, but at Jesse's there, like,
yeah, no, our normal bass player in Goat is Polly J. Fox.
Right.
Yeah, I know. He was in a, he's in a, he was at the time in another band. He's not in that band anymore. I think, anyway, I'm not going to even say the band just because it's not important right now that he couldn't make that gig. And the funny thing is that it was really cool that gig at Jesse's was a tail end of I think we played like five gigs. We were like in Montreal and we were in a couple other places, and we accepted that gig just to be like, yeah, let's just fucking top it off. And every single gig we played over that course of that week had a different like bass player. Yeah, I just enlisted all my friends. You know, it'd be like, yeah, okay. Paulie, the original bass player, is in like fucking Illinois, like visiting his whatever, like he was doing his thing. I love you, Paulie, wherever you are. Ooh. I know, you know, I love you, and he's still a member of Goat, don't get me wrong. But at that time, he was just like, he had all the shit to do. And I was like, no, I want to book all these shows and I want to do this because it's summertime and I want to have some fun. So I enlisted like all my friends to play bass. And Bob played bass. And we were in Montreal like the night before. And Matt Luloff, do you guys know Matt Luloff? He's like the Orleans councilman.
Oh, yeah, that's why. I was like, I know that name.
Why, yeah, he's also, that? Yeah, he's also, I was in a band with him for like 7 years, the band Hearts and Minds.
Okay.
Yeah, so like we're good friends and stuff like that. So anyway, yeah, weird. Everything gets weird. So
I'm pretty sure at that show I got heat stroke by the end of it. I'm pretty sure.
You might have also been drunk.
Well, no, I was that. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a blast for a random little basement show, you know.
You don't have to get like super detailed with it, but you're married, you have kids, like
I'm married with two little girls, 3 and 6.
Yeah.
So.
How is that? How's the balance of still trying to be in a band?
Not bad, but a lot of that's like, Jen, she's really great about letting us do that stuff. Like just in supporting me with my interests, and, you know, I try and support her and hers, but, I try not to abuse it, obviously, you know. It's more just like, okay, you know, give her lots of notice.
No, that's a special thing. You know, you find somebody who that is supportive of, especially something like, hey, I'm 30-something years old and I'm going to go out and play music at some bar in front of four people. You know,
yeah,
that's something. Exactly. That's something people like a partner might look at and be like, "Okay, good for you." You know, but if they look at it and say, "Good for you," that's special. It's special.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it's really the only way. I mean, with two kids, there's some curveballs. And then like Brad, he's got two kids now as well, and Brian's got a kid, and that coming back to scheduling again, it's a challenge sometimes.
Sure, sure.
Because not everybody works the same work schedule, you know, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But everybody's still into it. Everybody is just that was also a conversation we had where it was like, yeah, it's looking more like shows in 2022. Like, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get into the studio, and you know, at least when we hit 2022, we get a full new gift to bring with us, you know.
Well, you know, you could play shows with your buds.
Well,
like, well, you know, well, let me you know, you could play shows with your buds like once a month. Or you can bring home like a Millennium Falcon Lego kit and just build that in the basement for fucking a month and a half. It's like either way you're a loser, but come on, like pick your everyone needs a hobby, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, as long as the family always comes first and they know that you love them, but having your family love that you love what you're doing is also a gift, you know what I mean? And it's give and take, but there's always time for everything. So, cool, man. That's all I have to say. I don't know. I don't have kids, so I'm just assuming. Point in Ego and Vice, when everybody's on, we do our top 10 rapid questions. Steve from Holy Hi-Fi, are you ready?
Ready.
All right. Questions and answers, honesty lies. Yes, no, you can't, but you can and you know why. Shit, you must be fuckered, man. Like, what's he talking about? Any questions? Okay, question number one. Favorite song?
Ooh, Artist in the Ambulance.
Thrice. Very nice. Number two, favorite record.
Ooh, let's talk about feelings, Lagwagon.
Lagwagon. Okay. Number three is favorite movie.
Ooh. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. The number, if you like, if you really break it down, that is the number one, two, three, four. Number five, the fifth episode into the Star Wars saga. But
yes.
George Lucas, you can argue with him, but anyway, okay. number five is a death row meal. Or no, sorry, number four is a death row meal.
Tacos, man. I'm that simple.
From like homemade or from anywhere? Is there a restaurant?
Oh, no, just homemade.
Okay. Number but, five.
Like, unlimited? Wait, is there like a number?
No, it's like death row. Like they're going to kill you. So you can only smash. Oh. You can only smash a few before like they pull the switch. So.
Oh.
It's yeah, death. It's a death row meal, motherfucker. What's wrong with you? Anyway,
I thought, man, it's death row. They should just give me whatever I want for as long as I want, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Anyway, death row visitor, and this could be anybody in your entire like life. Like you have like 2 minutes with a person. Who would it be?
Oh, it's my wife. I
guess. Oh, you had to say it. You had
There's no
to
way
say
I
it.
Couldn't, man. There's no way I couldn't.
Okay. All right. Very safe. No. Hey, man. I know she's going to listen to this shit, so I respect that. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Okay. Where am I? Number eight. Favorite local restaurant?
Ooh, Whalesbone.
Nice. Do you know Chelsea Miller?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. The name sounds familiar, but I don't know why.
All right. And the very, very last question is, if you could have a beer with anybody, living or dead, who would it be?
Oh, shit. Living or dead?
Yep. Just a casual sit down. How's the weather, Gov?
Dude, I'm just blanking right now. Holy fuck. Shouldn't have had that, dude. Oh, actually, I know. Fucking Tom DeLonge from Blink. Because I want to talk about what he knows that he hasn't released fucking with all this alien talk and shit. That'd be interesting enough.
So you survived, like, I think that was 10 questions. I don't know. Maybe not, but...
I wasn't counting.
Yeah. So it's been great to be back with Ego and Vice doing what Ego and Vice was meant to do. Just, like, talk to local artists and have a good conversation. And, you know, it's been a rough 18 months or 16 months or whatever you want to call it. But... Regardless, we're all gonna get through, and we're all gonna get back to where we were. If we don't, then it's your fault. So fuck you. Anyway, Steve.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, man. All right. So this is Ego and Vice, episode 78, and we'll be back next week. Anything you want to say to the people? Do you have some links or anything you want to talk about?
I don't remember specific links, but yeah, check us out on Spotify, you know, Bandcamp, all the places that you would get music or stream music from, and shoot us a message if you want a shirt or something. Thanks.
Cool, man. If you want to get a hold of Ego and Vice, whether it be me or Steph, you can always contact us at egoandvice@gmail.com. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and I know this is one of them. So... this has been Ego and Vice, and we will see you soon.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.